الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى as we've spoken about, swears to us by various of his own creation. He can do that to give us, to strike a simile or metaphor for us. He swears to give us, to make us pay attention when we recite it and see it in the Quran al-Kareem by the pen or by the skies or by the earth, various things of his subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. We know that he swears by subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we of course can only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that too we should not drop that statement, which is a very weighty statement, not to use this oaths so lightly. So they're to be used in their proper place. But one of the things we might not, we forget, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that we, first of all, the greatest thing that we attest to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also attested to the same, which is, of course, the kalima la ilaha illallah, and the shahada that we say, Muhammad Rasulullah. But it's whether we say Muhammad Rasulullah, as ulama have stated, it's included in the meaning of la ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bears witness, because and we recite this in Surah Al-Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shahidallahu annahu la ilaha illahu وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he himself, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ, Allah bears witness that there is no God but Allah. There is no God but he. And the angels also bear witness, and the people of ilm, the أُولُو الْعِلْمِ. And he maintains his creation in justice. So this is a very important matter, first of all, a reminder to us that this is the greatest witness there is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself bears witness that there is no God but he, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so also reminding us that with this is where all of creation, with this statement, with this witnessing, that all of creation, we get justice. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established justice through this witnessing. So what does it mean? Obviously, because it's the summation of our deen, the summation of existence, the summation of all of creation is contained in this witnessing, in this statement, that everything else we discuss, this is what it's about. But in this ayah, it is interesting to note how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paired the testimony with justice, bilqist, that this testimony is what establishes justice. And of course, it's because it means that we remember him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all of our daily matters, in everything that we do. وَإِن لَمْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. And even if we don't realize this, that we can't imagine seeing him, then we should remember that he sees us, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. So this is the summation of everything and all other discourses and discussions that we have in terms of why we are here and what our goal is. Everything is under this rubric of the testimony. So that is a good reminder for us that Allah himself, and it's also interesting to note that when we say the testimony, we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is saying, Shahidallahu. So the past tense, the madi, is used, shahid Allah, Allah, but we don't translate it as Allah witnessed. No, we don't say that, because in the Arabic language, madi, it includes past, present, and future. This is why in transactions, we use the madi, because it is complete and it seals it. So the past is used, and as we say, past is perfect. But when we say it, we say ashhadu, because we're hoping and praying and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we die on this testimony, la ilaha illallah, that we die on this. But we only know about the present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all-knowing from pre-eternity, from the past, present, and future. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why the shahida, the past tense, is used. In terms of the testimony, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, his testimony, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, also, I want to mention this along with our studies of the deen, which ultimately, when we say the studies of the deen, what we mean really is getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We tend to forget that, because sometimes when you can get especially particular sciences, we can get engrossed in the details of the study that, and this happens a lot, unfortunately, to students that, and this is why the Sufi masters, the ones who, obviously, all of the sacred sciences are stepping stones to just getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are certain fara'id that we must know. But ultimately, this is why we mention every now and then, all of that is something some of us should know, as far as kifaya, for some people to know the vast majority of the sciences, but for the vast majority of people, the masses, that it's just a certain limited amount that is a fard. But yeah, either way, whichever level we are and whichever is our course in this world, either way, what ultimately gets us into Jannah are the easy things. This is what it means when the deen is easy, that this is something to protect us and to have this knowledge, and it springs forth the more we know and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the knowledge. But ultimately, the things that get us into Jannah are the very simple things. And so this ayah, if we look at, for instance, the explanation of this from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, actually a nice story is in Kufa there was a muhaddith, Sulaiman al-A'mash, I believe. He was also a great Nahwi, he was a great grammarian also, and he said this phrase, فَهِمْتُ النَّحْوَ كُلَّهُ إِلَّا حَتَّى, that he understood all of grammar except the word حَتَّى. حَتَّى in the Arabic language, it means it would be considered like a preposition, not entirely a preposition, but it would be under that category. But the reason he said that is because all other prepositions and particles, they're either amil, they cause a change in the following word, or they're ghair amil, they don't cause a change. But hatta, it can be either. It can cause a change or it doesn't have to. For instance, if you use a sentence, akaltu ta'ama hatta samak, you could say hatta samaka, hatta samaku, hatta samaki. So this gives you the variety. All three options are possible for hatta. So that's a grand statement, that he understood all of grammar except this word, hatta. But it also indicative of his vast knowledge in grammar, and usually that would be a precursor to studying the hadith. So anyway, one time, Ghalib al-Qattan, he was visiting, he was in business, so he would plan his business wherever he needed to travel to, according to whom he wanted to study with in those towns. So he would plan the cities that he wanted to go and also do business there. So he went through Kufa, wanting to see al-A'mash, and he spent some few days there, and then on the final day he was about to leave, and he heard him mention this ayah, and he was beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his own testimony. And so Ghalib al-Qattan was really touched by this. He heard him, and then afterwards he said, you know, all these days I spent with you, you never mentioned this ayah, you didn't expound on it. You know, I'd like to know what the Sahaba say, you know, in terms of tafsir of this ayah. And Al-A'mash, he became very upset. Some of the ulama were known for their moods. He became very upset, and he said, to respond to his question, meaning how come he didn't hear the hadith behind this ayah, he said, you've been here a few days as a businessman, and you expect to hear this hadith within those days? Wait a year. I will not give this until a year. It would take a year to get to this explanation. So Ghalib al-Qattan, he decided to just stay there for the entire year just to hear the commentary about this ayah. And when the 1 year mark came, he went to him and he said, it's 1 year now. And of course, this totally this was a detour in his plans of wherever else he was planning to go. So he gave him the explanation, and he said, on the authority of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever says these words, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he is a witness to there being no God, but he subhanahu wa ta'ala, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, will be taken to Jannah for citing this ayah. And subhanAllah. So anyway, going back to this, so this is where, and then pairing this ayah with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in terms of qist, justice, this is of course sharia. The sharia is what allows us to establish justice. But the problem nowadays is that we react to injustice by going to the other extreme. Whenever we see something that is incorrect or on the extreme, an outright injustice, then we go on the other extreme, which is not the way. If we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doled out justice as people would accept it. Once they made the hijrah to Medina al-Munawwara, it had to be doled out. And this is why we have all the years ensuing that we learn how those around him, the Sahaba, and as the new Muslims came in, radically changed their life as this deen was being taught to them. So this teaches us many things, that knowledge cannot be attained instantly, nor even in you know, a few weeks or months. It is lifelong. So, and even in knowledge, we cannot be greedy. In anything, even in the dunya, when we look at this analogy, anything that you try to attain very quickly, we usually lose it just as quickly. If you look at people who are trying to lose weight, it's said over and over again, anyone who does it rapidly and quickly, the vast majority of them will gain it right back. It's just not conducive. So if we learn the deen, our bodies might break. This is how weighty, we forget that, how weighty knowledge is, that our bodies would break. If the mountains were afraid of holding this and being witness to it, then how about us? We're nowhere near as mighty as the mountains are, and we think we can grasp, you know, big chunks of this ilm rapidly or within a certain time frame. There is no time frame. Once we let go of the time frame, then we'll see that inshallah we will get accretive knowledge, the real kind of knowledge that is everlasting and that is beneficial. This is what we want. We want ilm nafi'an, beneficial knowledge. So with that also, and with Ramadan al-Kareem coming up, and in fact, actually, let's look at a hadith in terms of Ramadan, because there was a question about, you know, whether when we're sick, we need to brush up on, obviously you take the classes to brush up on the rules, but just to give us the gravity of the situation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "Man aftara yawman min Ramadan min ghairi rukhsatin wa la maradin lam yaqdi anhu sawmud dahri kullihi wa in sawmahu." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said, "Whoever misses a fast or a day of fasting in Ramadan without any valid excuse or illness, then even if he fasts for his whole life, it will not atone for that one fast." So, very, very grave matter indeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to fast all the days, and may He forgive us for any of the days in our past that we weren't able to, and may He allow us to make up all of those that we need to. And also we should... in terms of the deen, you know, you establish justice through the deen, it's good to remember that dana yadinu, it means to be humble. So part and parcel of our deen is to be humble. And this is why Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an walking. It means that was his character. If we look at the characteristics of the Qur'an, it gives us all these traits that one should be, to have this humility, basically, that we shouldn't, it's how we treat one another. And in fact, in Sharia itself, as we've mentioned, one-fifth of the matters that we learn in fiqh is related to ibadah, the rights that is due upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we should do, which is really for our own benefit. And the rest of fiqh, the fiqh studies, is all mu'amalat, relationships. So this is what the Qur'an al-Kareem, all as a whole, gives us. So dana yadinu means to be humble. And it also relates to interrelationship. Just there's a saying, kamad tu dinu tadanu. Just as you treat, you will be treated. So every culture has a phrase like so. So what else with Ramadan al-Kareem coming up, with these basic primer level reminders, firstly to myself, but the basics, if we haven't noticed, also contain many of the higher level. We always go back to the basics in higher level studies too, because after you've studied what you need to study in the interim, you go back and find so many other rays of light in the basic foundational studies. And that's the beauty of this deen. There is no end to any of these studies. You can say it's cyclical, or you can say it continues to expound one over the other. So, one more thing I wanted to mention. As we said, one of the most important things is regarding the tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min samata najaha. Very simple, concise hadith, but it's pregnant with meaning. It means whoever stays quiet is successful. So we need to keep these reminders in mind with Ramadan coming. And finally, and it should add up, each one of these things, if we add it up and apply it, more importantly, then inshallah we pray that we taste the fruits that we want to from these tremendous days and nights that are coming up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach and benefit from Ramadan al-Kareem and bless us in our Sha'ban as we lead up to Ramadan. So one final thing to keep in mind, which is very important, and it's also a commentary on our modern life, which is we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to call Him. We know that He subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever calls Him, He answers, He replies subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man lam yas'alillaha yaghdab alayh," that whoever does not ask Allah, He becomes angry with him. So He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is whom we should be asking firstly, foremostly, lastly, and consistently, subhanahu wa ta'ala. With modern technology, what do? Because there seemingly is always someone to call, literally call, meaning on the phone, with the various technologies that we have on the iPhone, on the iPad, on the computer, whatever ways we contact with someone, it's very easy to go over whatever it is that we need to do. And particularly, at the very least, we should remember this, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on an emergency. Everyone knows about 911. I don't know if that's those are the digits you call for an emergency that happens in other Western countries, but in America, as we know, it's you just dial 911 in case of medical or any other type of emergency. But how many of us remember, especially at least at those times, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We seek refuge in Him from all kinds of emergencies, any of these dire circumstances. But if they happen, and when they happen to people, we would want to remember to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And in fact, if you look at the image of 911, it looks like Lillah. In Arabic, you could say that it says Lillah, to Allah. So even the numbers themselves are a reminder to us to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those moments. First of all, even emergency medical care is not going to get us in an instant. This is not Jannah. We don't get things without wait. Everything is by waiting, even in an emergency. So what are we doing in those very important emergency moments, emergent moments, actually? The only one to solve any of our problems, again, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put us in those moments, but makes us realize the real emergent moments. The real emergent moments, according to the ulama, are those times where we're slipping from remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the real emergency, if we knew it, from the perspective of akhirah. And this is why Ramadan is a reminder of that. It brings the akhirah before us, so that we can see clearly where our final goal is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to enter Jannah bila hisab, bila shay, without any reason, just for allowing us, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. So it's let's put it into an implementation example. For instance, when and particularly in Ramadan, we don't want to if we're already practicing right now this guarding our tongue, then inshallah we won't get ourselves into this. But at the very least, in Ramadan, everyone tries to keep away from argumentation and disputation, or even little tiffs. Tiffs happen, but even in Ramadan, we don't even want to go there in little quarrels. Whereas rest of the year, you know, would be hard to do, even to keep away from the minor tiffs, but at least in Ramadan, because it could lead to something bigger that we don't want. So this is the time to remember that even if we're seeing, now in terms of injustice, if we're seeing it upon ourselves, and we can't correct it, then we just turn directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try to always look at it from the other perspective. We turn to Allah. Allah is watching us. And so the real question is, are we reacting in the best way? So we can't control what it is. Someone is showing us injustice, but we can't control them. We can control ourselves. This is the biggest fallacy on the earth, thinking that we can push someone else's buttons. We can't. We can only push our own buttons. And so calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first will give us that reminder, put us in our place, and then we'll have the best outcome. Because by calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, we'll hopefully check ourselves so that we're not reacting with anger. And instead we're acting, if we have to, with thought, after seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, that will do for today. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma hu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma hu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ma hu ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة.